So what's going to happen now is we're going to look at our passage today, which is Psalm 94. So grab a Bible again. And it's on page 601. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to read through the first half of Psalm 94. We're going to do that together. And then we're going to sing a song that hopefully the kids will know. We sing it at kids club and holiday club. And then we're going to look at the second half of the psalm. And then I'm going to preach the second half. And then we're going to take communion together. So that's what we're going to do. So Psalm 94 on page 601. The Lord is a God who avenges. O God who avenges, shine forth. Rise up, judge of the earth. Pay back to the proud what they deserve. How long, Lord, will the wicked, how long will the wicked be jubilant? They pour out arrogant words. All the evildoers are full of boasting. They crush your people, Lord. They oppress your inheritance. They slay the widow and the foreigner. They murder the fatherless. They say that the Lord does not see. The God of Jacob takes no heed. Well, take notice, you senseless ones among the people, you fools. When will you become wise? Does he who fashioned the ear not hear? Does he who formed the eye not see? Does he who disciplines nations not punish? Does he who teaches mankind lack knowledge? The Lord knows all human plans. He knows that they are futile. All right, let me pray for us. Father God, thank you so, so much that we have the Bible, that we have your word in front of us. And we thank you so much that in it is everything that we need, everything that we need to know how to live, and everything that we need to know about you. And so I pray that as we listen and as I speak, that we will listen hard and concentrate. And please help us to understand what you want to teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, kids, for those of you who are still here, a few pockets of children in the room. Okay, I've got a question. If I were to ask you, what does God do? What's the first thing that pops into your head? What does God do? Saves us. Good answer. What else does God do? Helps us. You're on a roll. Team A are winning. No, I'm not going to do that. Okay, any other answers? What does God do? Yes, sir? Forgives us. Great. Anything else? What does God do?
Sustains us.
Great answers. Brilliant answers. Now, what does God do? The very first verse of our passage today says, the Lord is a God who avenges. The Lord is a God who avenges. So avenges means he takes vengeance. What does vengeance mean? What is vengeance? Anyone can call out. What is vengeance? What was that?
Hits back.
Any other answers? What is vengeance? How would you define vengeance? Settle the score. Yeah, great. Great phrases. Yeah, vengeance, I guess, is when you punish someone for something wrong that they have done to you or something wrong that they have done to someone else. It's like punishment, isn't it? Settling the score, hitting back. I think when we think about the question, what does God do? We tend to think of God saving us. What does God do? He forgives us. He loves us. He creates. We're fine with that. But I think it makes us a bit uncomfortable, a bit, to say that God is a God who avenges, who punishes. We don't really like to hear that, and we don't really like to tell people that either. It makes us a bit uncomfortable that he's an angry God, that he punishes. But in this psalm, that we not only find out that this is what God does, but we also find out that it's a good thing that God punishes, that God is a God who avenges. So what we're going to find out in the first half today is that God sees when people do wrong. God sees when people do wrong. So the person who's written the psalm, he's looking around and he's seeing lots of people doing wrong things, doing evil things, horrible things. And he just cries out, Lord, how long? How long is this going to go on for? He's so discouraged. He's overwhelmed. Lord, are you seeing this? Are you seeing what other people are doing? How much longer? Do something. I think sometimes we ask that question when we are wronged by people, when we look around and we see the evil in the world, often when we're watching the news, Charlottesville, Barcelona, we're just overwhelmed. What is going on? How much longer is this going to go on for? Verses 4 to 7 tell us quite graphically what's going on. Exactly what's going on. They pour out arrogant words. All the evildoers are full of boasting. They crush your people, Lord. They oppress your inheritance. They slay the widow and the foreigner. They murder the fatherless. It's quite shocking, isn't it? All right, kids, I need you to wake up. Okay, Vospers, can I pick on you too? So, okay, could you stand up? If you have a piece of paper in your row that's got big letters on it, would you mind just holding it up where you are? There should be 5, I think. Okay, 3, 4. Great, 5, brilliant. Vospers, would you mind going grabbing those for me, please? Brilliant. So I've written down all those things that we just read in those verses. Got it written down in kind of a summary, sort of. How else would we rephrase that list? Great, good job. I think that's all of them. Nice one. Could you come up and hold them up for people? Maybe one at a time, and we'll just read them. What are people doing? What are evil people doing? Great. Hold them up nice and high. Good job, good job. There we go. Let's stand side by side so people can see. Okay, what are people doing? Evil things. They're mean and they're unkind. They murder people. What does yours say, William? They hurt people. Okay, what's in your other hand, William? Let's read those ones. They bully people. Good. And last one. They brag and they boast. Good job. Yeah, so all these evil things, that's what the list covers, isn't it? Horrible things that people are doing in the world. Good job, Vospers. Thank you for your help. It's good. You can sit down. All those horrible things. They brag and they boast. They murder people. They bully the weak. They're mean and unkind. They hurt people that can't stand up for themselves. And on top of that, verse 7 is shocking. Because on top of that, they say, the Lord doesn't see. The God of Jacob takes no notice. Unbelievable. So not only are they doing these awful things, but they're saying, what's God going to do about it? Whatever. And that's such a crazy thing to say. It's crazy. And the psalmist explains why. And he takes us through. So we're going to start by thinking about our ears. Reach up. Touch your ears, everyone. Don't be shy. Your ears are incredible. funny things on the side of your head, really. But they are incredible. Now, lots of us, we have ears that don't quite work properly. We're looking forward to the day when they do work properly. And they will do in the new creation. But our ears are wonderfully made. I found out some cool facts about your ears. The three smallest bones in your body are found inside your ear. Three tiny little bones. Fun fact. Maybe you knew that. You didn't know this one. Tiny little hairs allow you to hear on the inside of your ear. That's how you can hear, because there are tiny, tiny little hairs inside your ear. You don't seem that impressed. Okay, I was impressed. Ears are amazing. But now the psalmist talks about your eyes. So next one, take your hands, put them in front of your eyes. Take them away. Just like, think about your eyes. Amazing. Amazingly made. They allow us to see the most wonderful things, most beautiful colors, sending information to your brain rapidly, all day long. And the psalmist says to the people who do wrong in verse 9, he says, look, do you think that God, who made your eyes, do you think he's blind? Do you think he can't see you? And he talks about your ears and he says, look, God, who made your ears, do you think he can't hear you? Isn't that just a crazy thought? That God can't see you when you're doing wrong? That God can't hear you when you're doing wrong? It's a crazy thought. We often act, quite bizarrely, like, well, God is blind. There we are. Covers the eyes, covers his ears, he can't see. And he stands at a distance like this, and he can't see. And he can't hear. Maybe God doesn't hear what's going on in Charlottesville. And the hate and the racism. Maybe God doesn't hear. Maybe God doesn't see when people are hurting each other. Maybe he doesn't see the terror attacks. Maybe he doesn't hear the bully in the playground. Maybe he just doesn't care. Maybe that's the truth. Maybe he's just standing at the side. I don't care. But he does care. And he does see. That's what we find out in the passage. He does care. He does see. He's the judge of the earth, it says. God sees when people do wrong. He made your eyes and ears. And so the psalmist cries out. He says, Lord, how much longer is this going to last? This is crazy. You can see what's happening. How much longer is this going to last? If God is the judge of the earth, what is he going to do about it? The song that we're going to sing in just a moment, the song reminds us that of all these wrong things that we've just been looking at, that people do, Jesus never did any of that. And the song reminds us what Jesus is like, and that if we're Christians, that God will make us more and more like Jesus. And then afterwards, we're gonna pick on just the most important bit of the song, and we're going to find out what that is. But let's stand and sing the song together. Brilliant song. What's the most important bit of the song? And if any of the kids can tell me this, I will be so chuffed. What is the most important bit of the song? Does anyone want to call it out? That wasn't what I was going for, actually. I think there's even more important bit of the song. Nice one, Nico. Nice one. I don't always do what's right. Jesus lived a perfect life, and for sins like mine, he died. Most important bit of the song. Absolutely. We're going to read the rest of Psalm 94 together. So find it if you've still got it open. And if you're comfortable, follow along with me. Okay, from verse 12 to the end. Blessed is the one you discipline, Lord, the one you teach from your law. You grant them relief from days of trouble till a pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord will not reject his people. He will never forsake his inheritance. Judgment will again be founded on righteousness, and all the upright in heart will follow it. Who will rise up for me against the wicked? Who will take a stand for me against evildoers? Unless the Lord had given me help, I would soon have dwelt in the silence of death. When I said, my foot is slipping, your unfailing love, Lord, supported me. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy. Can a corrupt throne be allied with you? A throne that brings on misery by its decrees. The wicked band together against the righteous and condemn the innocent to death. But the Lord has become my fortress and my God, the rock in whom I take refuge. He will repay them for their sins and destroy them for their wickedness. The Lord our God will destroy them. So, in the first half, we found out that God sees when people do wrong. And in this half, what we learn is that God will punish people who do wrong. It's a very serious psalm. And that's the message of the whole psalm. That's what I want us to take away, is that God sees when people do wrong, and God will punish people who do wrong. That's the message of the psalm. So we've just found out the most important bit of the song. I don't always do what's right. Jesus lived a perfect life, and for sins like mine, he died. So let me tell you why that's so important. We could finish reading the psalm, Psalm 94, a long and serious psalm. And we could actually feel scared. Because we know, actually, that we do wrong things. Jesus is the only one who never did anything wrong. And the last verse of the psalm, verse 23, says, he will repay them for their sins and destroy them for their wickedness. The Lord our God will destroy them. So we could read that and we could think, oh, think about all my sins. Think about the wickedness and the evil and the wrong things that I do, that God sees me do. Is God going to destroy me? Is God going to destroy me for the things that I've done wrong? This is why that line in the song is so wonderful. We sang, I don't always do what's right, true. But Jesus lived a perfect life, and for sins like mine, all those sins, he died. We deserve to be punished for the wrong things we've done. But Jesus is God's son, and he chose to come and to die and to be punished instead of us. If you say sorry to God for the wrong things that you've done, and believe that Jesus did die for you, and he took your punishment, God will show you mercy. God has shown us mercy, and so we won't have to be punished because Jesus took it. Jesus was punished in our place. And so that is such a relief, isn't it? I hope that today that we feel that we feel a genuine kind of relief. Wow. No more punishment. I think about the wrong things I've done. I won't be punished because Jesus was punished in our place. And that's why it's so important that we take bread and wine, together. We remember that. And because of what Jesus has done, that makes us God's people. So we can read verse 14 as being about us. Look down at verse 14. A terrific statement. For the Lord will not reject his people. He will never forsake his inheritance. And the psalmist explains in the verses that come after exactly how God hasn't forsaken him. He hasn't left him. He's surrounded by people who do wrong, and he gives us his own personal testimony from verse 17. Unless the Lord had given me help, I would soon have dwelt in the silence of death. When I said, my foot is slipping, your unfailing love, Lord, supported me. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation, Lord, brought me joy. The psalmist is looking around at all the evil in the world, all the wrongdoing, and he knows that the Lord ultimately is the only one he can turn to. And he does turn. God will punish people who do wrong. And so the psalm writer holds on to that. He trusts that. And the last couple of the verses sum it up really well. And the writer basically says, look, God is my comfort in the midst of all this. Verse 22, but the Lord has become my fortress and my God, the rock in whom I take refuge. He will repay them for their sins and destroy them for their wickedness. The Lord our God will destroy them. The psalm writer knows that people who don't trust in God will one day get what they deserve and that God will punish them. And so I think one of the things that we need to do after hearing a message like this is to talk about it. This is especially true if we or other people in our church family are being wronged by other people. We need to remind each other and say, hey, look, Psalm 94. There it is in black and white. God sees what's happening and he won't let it go unpunished. And then we need to spend time, I think, together thinking about God's help, God's unfailing love, God's consolation, all the truth that we read about in the Bible. And so to use that to comfort each other when we feel overwhelmed by the evil in the world. And so just like the writer of the psalm, when we're faced by people who do wrong, it's God's unfailing love for his people and his final vengeance on wrongdoers that helps us to stand firm. I think the big thing that we need to do is to stop and thank the Lord Jesus again for his incredible love. His selfless love for us and for his Father. Because God the Father punished his spotless, perfect Son because of the wrong things that we had done. And a way of remembering this, what we do, what Jesus commanded us to do, is to eat bread and to drink wine together. Which is what we'll do in a minute. But before we do that, before Andy leads us through that, let's just be quiet. Let's be still for a moment. and think and pray.